The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics. And howdy there, folks. Welcome back. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd like to point out that you should be subscribed and have in your favorites republicbroadcasting.org. Stay up to date on what's going on. Click around on some of our sponsors and the things that are offered there. That helps the station out immensely. If you have a business or organization that you like to advertise, you really should be calling the station managers and setting something up, okay? Something mutually beneficial are the best and strongest contracts out there, and I think we can help with that. So please support us as you can. Hit the donation button as you will. Donations, big or small, are greatly appreciated. Folks work hard around here. Each of the programmers work hard in their individual rights and contribute a lot of time to the content they put out. So do what you can and support as often as you can. Let's go here. Second half of the show, I wanted to actually dig into some of the science. That's my background. I have a degree in environmental science, technology, plant and soil. I went to UMass Amherst and survived. All right, they got a wonderful program there. If you actually ignore all the other social, political fluff and you stay focused in academics, there's some brilliant people there. I took a course, actually. I was an underclassman at the time. I was just finishing up community college. I was 11 years out of high school. I had children in diapers, and I needed to find a new positive direction that was going to provide for my new larger family. So, I dug right into school and I loved it. But when I was still at community college, I had heard of an instructor at UMass that was offering, this is a graduate level course, like a 500, 600 level course. And I think there were only 12 people allowed in the course, in the class. And, I went up there on a, and just said, hey, will you give me permission to take this course? It's extremely interesting, and I think I can swing it. And she let me. Her name is Lynn Margulis. She used to be married to Carl Sagan. And what an interesting woman. She's actually the co-founder of something called the Gaia Hypothesis. And for those that are aware of the goddess Gaia, and in terms of new age politics and global religions and things like that, that term, that goddess, has been used as an idol. In terms of this hypothesis, it's separate of the politics of that. It was really about the biotic and abiotic environment kind of organically working together, that the living and non-living parts of this planet indicated the direction that nature went. How many species on the planet there were, what kind of species, how did they adapt and evolve, right? There's a evolution. People either seem to be, for some reason, I don't understand this as a Christian, and I do understand, actually. I take that back. Because when you go to school, go to college, to be a senator, all right, when you take political science, you get just enough physical science, regular science, to make you a skeptic of God. In reality, it, like paint on a wall, if you scratch beneath that most basic facade, that fulfillment for their degree in political science, you only need this basic amount that leaves a whole bunch of unanswered questions that you automatically equate to, the omission of God, basically. When you scratch beneath the surface and look at the intricacy and the interaction of everything in an abiotic and biotic context, it is impossible for life to be random. All right, that's just a conclusion that I came to. But here's the deal, is, you know, we have got to look at the realities that exist out there. And some of these are a little bit more complex. We got to get used to not looking at the painted surface. All right, you can paint over rot spots and try to sell your house and make it look like it's new. But anyone with common sense who's making an investment, in that case, an investment in a house, you're going to look and see, well, you just painted over a bunch of sawdust and termites. All right, that's not good. That's not a good investment. If you're investing in knowledge for you to make decisions, because a democracy only works when you have two things: a fully informed public, fully informed, not fully propagandized, but when the people have access to the best science, the best knowledge, the best observations out there, and can make their own mind up based on raw facts, not the painted surface. All right, and the other is the integrity of the elections. If we, the people, have access to information and can have an open dialogue and discuss these things and work through them, and then we get together and vote, that vote has to mean something and has to have integrity. So if you don't have those two things, you don't even have democracy. That's a whole nother show. But we're going to dig into the science right now, because it's essential. I know a lot of people on the right who smell the rotten body under the porch, see with the fanaticism that the progressives are pushing this climate change hoax. They just intuitively are, rebelling against it. They happen to be sort of on the right side and not allowing that agenda to enslave us. Okay, but they don't know why. They don't know how to argue it. They will lose the battle. We all will lose the battle if we can't have an educated discussion on precisely what this means, what it is, what are the variables. So that's what we're going to do right now, is we're going to talk a little bit about that. Daisy World, that's going to start this off. As I mentioned earlier, this was a government project. It was called Daisy World. They were looking for a bunch of random volunteers within the environmental science field, basically. Someone with a little bit of a working knowledge. And again, I was still a greenhorn. All right, I hadn't done any of the research projects and things like that, independent studies that I went on to do. This is all before that. So it was introductory level environmental science types of people, those that may have be recent graduates and working on a conservation commission or something, those types. So they filled the room up with us, each of us with a computer station, and our goal, they gave us a planet, right? And this planet was about three quarters water and one quarter land. All right, sound familiar? Well, it also had a temperature range that happened to be pretty much what the living temperature range on average is here on Earth. Though the setup was the same, we were about that distance from the sun for these things to potentially exist. So we started out with just that. We were to populate our planet with only one thing, and that was daisies. And the only difference is some were black and some were white. All right, it had nothing to do with race. They were black and white, and the measurable variable was their albedo, something called albedo, which is the potential to absorb or reflect sunlight. Obviously, anyone who's done any passive solar projects or anything like that, your solar panels and the do-it-yourselfers, they'll get a copper coil and coil it up inside of a glass box and paint it black. They paint it black because, black absorbs heat, right? Now, if you have a white daisy whose albedo is so great that it reflects most of the light, all right, for every, and this is where there was a difference in the number, that white daisy might have a static albedo of one. So for every one daisy, you might need 2.17 black daisies to counter and absorb an equal amount. And that was it. Everything else was the same. There was no other life on this planet. They were trying to measure, based on the absorption and reflection of sunlight, if you could manage the surface of your planet within a temperature range. This is exactly, precisely, what all the climate change alarmists, everyone in government who claims to be doing something to the environment, these are the chemtrails, these are those people that say we want to put plastic beads in our ponds and in the ocean, all right? They don't realize what they are doing is, if you block the sunlight and reflect it from the surface of a water body, there's a whole bunch of plant life that exists within what's called the photic zone of every water body. It's where you find seaweed. It's where you find pond lilies. All those things are there. Were there, should I say. Because when you block the sunlight out to it, all right, and there's a logarithmic depletion of the power of the sun as you go through each cubic foot of water. So you're now changing the entire vegetative community of every water body just by adding beads. So I want you to realize that this, for this experiment, they oversimplified it, got rid of the billions and billions of variables that contribute, and tried to focus on whether man could govern and keep a planet within a livable range based on it, their ability, whether it's through chemtrails or things like I said with the beads or whatever they do, to reflect or absorb the sun, if they can do it. Here's what we found out. And again, this is a room full of people. I was there with one of my classmates. I didn't know anybody else there. I don't know. I can't remember how many people. It was a full conference room, great big conference room full of computers and individuals. Every individual was trying to keep their planet alive. That was the goal. All you had to do is, here's your model. You can put on as many white daisies or black daisies as you want. Start with as many or as few as you want. But you have got to keep within a livable range with your temperature. So we did. We started throwing things out there, and that meter's moving, and it's rising up as we're getting more black daisies, more black daisies. Oh, almost got too much. And what happened was, people didn't realize that as you're going up and starting to hit the ceiling, when you've gone to the maximum temperature and you want to reverse things, sometimes they say, okay, we'll just stop adding black daisies, or maybe we'll add a white daisy now. But there was a lag period. There was a lag period. They stop adding black ones. Then they added a white one. Oh, panic is still kind of going that direction. Add a bunch more white ones. And right off the bat, there was a wave of people that were burnt up their planet right off the bat. They didn't realize that you had to lay off that stuff in advance in order for things to equalize. Because what you're looking for is a sine wave. Ideally, all right. I mean, I think in this experiment, there were probably those that hypothesized that you could have a static line. And that's really what the goal of the experiment was. That's what they were asking us to do. Rather than a nice, healthy sine wave that had highs and lows, you had a straight line, as if you're dead on an EKG. Okay, that's what they were trying to force out of this room full of people, to just to see if they could do it. And I'll tell you, we hung in there to the end. I was one of those that made it, you know, pretty far. There was, I don't think there were 8 or 10 of us left at the end. And it was from panic to panic to panic to panic on a high or a low. Are we going to go off? Because we, you know, we had the advantage of looking at the people in front of us and, you know, seeing where they didn't lay off the black daisies soon enough and they just exceeded. Burnt their planet up. Others, they got up there a little bit and then it started to go down and they just didn't add enough black daisies to heat it up and they froze their planet. Complete glacier all over the whole thing. So we tried, all right? Try as you will, gave it the old college try, as they said. A room full of aspiring environmentalists could not keep their planets alive. There was not one of us that was able to say, you need 27 black daisies and 19 white daisies, and your planet will straight line at this temperature. Or and you can't assume there's going to be a sine wave type of thing because you're putting two finite numbers. And I don't care what you do. You can go out and make the growth curve slow. Okay, you're just prolonging the suffering if you think you're going to manage that. But we found that you couldn't add and take away the reflectance of the atmosphere fast enough to react to trajectory sometimes. But it was nothing that we were able to settle on. And this is all about what nature is. When you dig into science and how it works, is there are so many variables, there's so many things built into the system. You know, nature is like the perfected version of what our government should be, where we had three branches of government that keeps an eye on each other. There's billions of variables that are all interconnected, which means at times when the bad things happen to nature, lightning strikes and there's forest fire and it tears through an entire region. All right, the system reacts to that. Now, that was the conclusion, is there was no answer. There was nothing that man could do to keep the planet within livable range by tinkering with its albedo. That was the take-home message. It was not one of us, not one person, was be able to say, this is the level that you need to maintain in the atmosphere to reflect this percentage of sun and absorb that. That's the truth of that experiment. And I think that's the truth in reality too. Now I want to dig in more to this, the greenhouse gas emissions, because that's the vehicle they're going to use as they come after us. They're going to use emissions, you know, CO2. You should have been upset, and the red flag should have gone off the moment they declared part of your respiratory process as a plague to this planet. Now, CO2, in case you don't know, farmers and people that run greenhouses actually buy canisters of CO2 to weep out into their greenhouses because it just makes plants grow. It is like a superfood to them. All right, so CO2 is not a bad thing. And you got a government saying that they're going to go out in their Daisy World sunglasses and they're going to tinker with the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. You should be nervous. All right, we're going to talk more about methane with Andy from Texas as soon as we get back from these messages. Stay with us. We'll be back soon. It's Red Pill Politics. Listen to republicpodcasting.org.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Red Pill Politics. It is Sunday, December 10th already, and thanks for tuning into the show. If you haven't, please do head over to republicbroadcasting.org, check out the other programs, leave a donation if you can and you will. Donations, big or small, are greatly appreciated and really do go a long way in keeping the signal on and reaching out. And also, show me a little love over in Rumble. Get on the notifications at our Rumble channel. Please leave a comment down the regular comments, too, especially if you have some resource links that you want to share regarding what we're talking about. I love it when these videos travel around as a total resource. People just get tired of hearing me harp. We got to put some documents in your hand. Maybe we can do that again today. So get subscribed, give us a thumbs up, share things around there too as well. And of course, get on the old mailing list. Show ideas, comments, and hate mail can always be directed directly to me from redpillpolitics.tv. Get on the list over there and stay up to date. Unsubscribe whenever you'd like. and blah, blah, blah. Let's move on. I was talking about Daisy World. All right. The conclusion was is that man-made manipulation and management of the albedo of the Earth. And again, the albedo is the potential for sunlight to be absorbed or reflected, the greenhouse effect or not. And not one person was able to get to the end and say, this is how many black daisies, this is how many white daisies, and kept their planet at a livable range. We all, myself included, either froze or burnt up our planet. Clear indication that we probably should not be manipulating with the albedo of the Earth. What we should do is make sure that the gases that are given off everywhere, and it's not just man-made, this is where context, we're going to talk about context again here today, the context of which these contributions, these contributors, these variables, right? CO2, we are all told that's bad. You should be worried because you exhale CO2. It happens to be something that plants just love, that farmers and people that operate greenhouses literally have budgets for CO2 that they release into the greenhouse because the plants just love it. Farmers wouldn't do this if it didn't work. All right, so first they get you, put out a bunch of fear porn about that, and now it's cow farts. Oh, yes, indeed. All right, remember the global, the local thing I mentioned at the beginning of the show? Let me remind you, all right, this is in effect here. If you go in the Wayback Machine, Earth Summit 1992, Agenda 21 came out. All right, they talked about sustainable development. We didn't know exactly what sustainable meant, but we did have their document called the Biodiversity Assessment Report that told us what is not sustainable. And in it, they said pastures in areas where cows artificially compact the soil. Today, their farts are killing us. All right, they're causing global warming and climate change, you see. And this this meat intake, that was in the Biodiversity Assessment Report. Our consumption of meat, our consumerism, is unsustainable. And no one fought back. They said, okay, all right, I guess no more cows? Is that what you're saying? Well, yeah, now we're here today, 2023, that's what they're talking about. Yep, no more cows. They're doing it in other countries, collapsing their agricultural industry is imploding in some nations. Our food supply is constricting, like it or not. That's the fact. No one wants to talk about the food shortages that are coming, but they're real and they're going to happen. They're in the process. All right. So, yeah, now it's methane. Let's put things into perspective about methane, and then I'm going to pull in. We've got one caller on the line. I'm going to keep him on hold just a little bit longer, but then we're going to get his perspective on this. We've now switched emphasis to link up that need to kill our agricultural industry, our cattle industry, all right, to kill that and further the fear porn about greenhouse gas emissions. All right, methane is something that's 80 times more potent than CO2. All right, and we're going to talk about where methane comes from, other than the ass end of a cow, right after this break. It's Red Pill Politics, listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back in a moment.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Sunday to everybody. The rain's starting to move in here. Looks like we got 2 straight days of rain heading our way. And boy, I wish I could send this down south a little bit, especially where our callers calling in from, the folks down in Texas. Kind of a short change this year on rain. I wish I could have sent them half of what we got up here. But yeah, before we go to the caller, I want to wrap up, or not wrap up, actually, but finish my introduction of a discussion about methane, because that's the new thing. CO2 bad, methane worse, all right? And methane comes from agriculture, and cows in particular, all right? So get used to a beef-free, deindustrialized future if you want to go along with what they're saying. And for the reason of this methane is, in fact, 80 times more potent as a greenhouse gas. And we can't have these cows, your food, creating any change in the climate, in the temperature here. Now, let's now, again, in line with context, because that's how we started the show, I want to continue that trend because we've got to keep things in context. This is the beginning of that discussion as well. Now, if we're going to talk about methane from cows being a contributor, and according to them, a major contributor, one that we have to immediately go after of all the things in the world, this is it. All right. Let's look at where methane comes from. All right. And is that where the majority of methane originates? Well, yes, there is quite a bit of methane that comes from an agricultural environment. All right. But here's another source. We have gone around this country, especially, and in particular here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the wetland regulations is we have gone crazy, reforestation, another one of the goals of UN Agenda 21 back in 92. All right. And we've largely done that. Private landowners have reforested this entire nation. We at one time cut down almost every tree. Now it is as healthy in both quantity and quality through private property ownership and private control. But here's what's happened is these wetlands now, because as they further try to constrict and restrict our ability to develop and use our own land, they've considered certain waterways and resources as resource areas. Some are in control by your state environmentalists, some the federal environmentalists, an Army Corps of Engineers, so on and so forth. But here in this state, as bad as it comes, I mean, anything, any little wet spot is protectable and has a 100 to 200 foot buffer zone or riverfront area around it. All these wetlands are being protected. They're allowed to grow, but you're never allowed to fill them. And they are, if you've ever been in a swamp, if you remember as a kid going out in the swamp and you, or even a pond or something, you stick a stick down in the mud and the sediments and the bubbles come up. All right. And often it smells like rotten eggs. That's hydrogen sulfide. All right. That's a reduced form of sulfur. And when it's in its reduced form, it smells like rotten eggs. All right. It's in an anaerobic environment. All these wetlands, you get down usually just below the water sediment interface, and it goes anaerobic very quickly. All the dissolved oxygen is depleted and gone. And when things mineralize and decompose, you get their reduced, not their oxidized form of something. Okay, that's why you don't get nitrates in that type of an environment. You would get ammonia nitrogen, the reduced form. All right, methane, the same thing. The methane comes out of swamps and wetlands. But moreover, and this is what ties in, as I told you, I took a course with Lynn Margulis, the wife of Carl Sagan. She taught a course called Evolutionary Ecology. And I had to really sweet talk my way into this class, too, because it was for grad students. And I had to explain to her why, you know, little old me wanted to take it. But I did. I convinced her. And I don't know if it was good or bad. I enjoyed the class and I got a lot out of it. But she did not give me any favors and cut me any slack. In fact, I think she leaned on me more because I was the only one that was not a grad student in there. And every paper meant a presentation and visuals and all that. Well, one of my papers was on termites, because there's four types of termites that exist on this planet. People think they just in the damp wood in your basement sill plate and rotten logs and stuff. But no, that's only one that happens to be a wetland species, if you will. But there's a whole lot of terrestrial upland termites that exist. And they don't eat wood. They physically break it down. They will, disassemble your house if you let them. They'll break it down, ingest it, and the microbes inside of their gut kind of the way a cow works, how they got four stomachs and they all do different things and cause, you know, occasional gases to come out one end or both. Those are in a reduced environment. Okay, just like that grass pile when you mow your lawn and you throw the pile of grass from your bagger and you throw that out at the edge of the woods. Go back out the next week and push that over, and you're going to find that the top looks like brown, dried-up grass, but right beneath it is black, greasy, stinky nastiness. And that's just in a one-week period. It all went anaerobic, and that is throwing methane and hydrogen sulfides and things like that, reduced forms of many greenhouse gases, literally come from the surface of the earth everywhere, higher concentrations. So when you go and look at their new methane map that they have that's using global satellites, they look at the methane that's going up in the atmosphere, and it's in the tropical rainforests that are the biggest contributor. And they show it already. I already went out and checked these out. Go and look for yourself. You'll see that the surface of the ground, the leaves, the fall leaves that fell in your yard and throughout the woods and everywhere, all right, if they weren't being broken down, we'd be up to our eyeballs. Like I said, if the government ever does something, maybe trying to change the albedo of the earth, and they kill off the decomposers, the hell with us. We could be healthy as an ox and all as well with us as humans. But if they do something to kill the decomposers on the surface, this very thin surface of the planet, and they stop decomposing, things stop growing. In a couple of years, you're literally up to your head in leaves, in debris that will not break down. So where does methane come from? It comes from everywhere. Wetlands are huge contributors of it. Every place there are sediments, you are getting the reduced forms of all gases, methane being one of them. Right there, whenever there's geologic activity that encapsulates these organic layers of substance, that's why we talk about doing away with fossil fuels. People think that, you know, this came from rotten dinosaurs, and once it's gone, it's gone, and right now we're using it and it's killing the planet. Well, it's actually renewable. All right, it's just biomass, rotten biomass. And it's broken down or partially broken down. It's extracted, and it's something that does actually replenish itself. It's there, and it should be used to further and better and secure mankind. Do we have to be cognitive of what we put in the atmosphere? Absolutely. Forever chemicals, we should probably get rid of those. There's nothing that we should make and produce and incorporate into any part of industry that nature can't decompose. That'd be something for us to form a treaty on, huh? Well, yeah, methane is the new buzzword. And they're going to make you think that the biggest contribution to methane is your food supply. And you've got to know that they are lying to you and trying to starve you out. That's the cold, hard reality, folks. I wish I had some, I wish I could just tell you everything's going to be fine. If you stuck your head deeper in the sand, tomorrow everything would be okay and still be able to sleep. But I can't. They're trying to starve you out. They're trying to price you out. You're not going to be able to replace or repair your hot water heater. You're not going to have a car unless you're one of the few selected Soviets that gets to have one. Or you're a code enforcement officer, you might be given a government-funded, a.k.a. taxpayer-funded, electric car to buzz around in. But the rest of you vassals, you're on your bicycles, you're in mass transit, or you're wearing your visor, you're drugged up in your lazy boy wearing your friggin' visor. They really don't want you out mingling around and doing stuff. You're a useless eater, remember? They don't have a job for you. Yeah, I'm telling you, I live in an area where you can still go by some old high schools that happen to still be up, and they had greenhouses. Right? That used to be an agriculture department. It used to be a part of the of high schools. They had greenhouses at most high schools back in the day. Man, if we don't get back to something closer to that. So yeah, they're about to go after methane. Understand that their preservation activism over the years, protecting all those wetlands, are contributors. And now you got the progressives demagogue there, Bill Gates, saying, yeah, well, actually, you know what? These trees are sinks for carbon and methane, so we should just cut these giant trees down and bury them. And what do you think is going to happen? Is it possible that termites and other soil microbes are going to just, you know, go break down those trees that you just buried and turn them into all kinds of gases, including CO2 and methane? These people don't know what they're talking about. And they really don't have to. They just got to gift wrap it so that you think they know what they're talking about. These monsters, I'm telling you, the future they envision doesn't include most of you. Andy from Texas, talk me down, brother. Andy, you still there?
I'm still here. Somebody's got to click me in.
How's things going there in Texas?
Are you hearing me?
Loud and clear. Can you hear me?
All right. Things are going. Well, I got an echo, but things are going clear in Texas. Yeah, whatnot. But, you know, this whole methane thing, this whole carbon dioxide thing, it's just another gimmick. It's just another thing that they're pushing on us to make us fear what's going on. I mean, that's the entire thing. The one thing we don't need in this world is government. Government has to go. We can govern ourselves. We can make our own communities. We can do everything we want to do. But then they got government regulations. Well, you can't do this. You can't do that. And the methane, most of the methane that is actually coming out into the world and stuff comes from the ocean. The methane is a release from the it's a release from the oil and stuff that's, you know, forming underneath that stuff.
On this planet where you can go out like in the Gulf. And there's places where it's seeping out and around.
Absolutely.
Like in Pennsylvania and throughout that area, where they said all the fracking was causing gas to come out through their faucets and people would hold a lighter up under their faucet. You know, this was happening before the fracking. The gas is literally oozing out of the ground and into their well water. So yeah, a lot of this stuff is... crap.
Well, but we got to look at this carbon thing. We got to get rid of carbon dioxide. Okay, that kills all the animals, that kills all the trees, that kills your grass, that kills you. Because they want carbon zero, if you listen to Bill Gates. I want carbon zero. So that means that he basically told you he wants you all dead when he said we got to reduce one of these to zero. And all that whole scenario on the TED Talk that he did was completely about humans. So he was telling you straight up in that TED Talk that you we need you dead.
Yeah, he was also the one that said that they can go a long way in solving the overpopulation problem through a good vaccination. And
exactly.
You know, he's going
to reduce the population by 10-15%. Yeah. No, he was a wonderful guy.
Vaccine, but no one asked the common sense question and follow-up question, how do you reduce a population with something that you're claiming is for their best health through a vaccine? And March and Squirm answers that.
Therein lies the dupe. I mean, our entire lives have been duped. I mean, you were saying earlier, you're like, well, people are starting to find the truth. Are they really? Because what is the truth? They've skewed everything about the truth in society. That, you know, I mean, like even here on RBN, we're hearing people saying this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing, and they don't coincide with the next show that comes up, you know? We're having a very big problem discovering the truth. And, you know, I think somebody said a long time ago, when the American people... believe everything that we say is a lie and they believe it is true, we've done our job. And so they've obscured this. So I wonder how much of the CIA is embezzled into all of our alternative media that we're listening to.
Some people just... I mean, this is the tough part about liberty and how to defend it, is that, you know, there is no entity, no government body that gets to say, well, this is good information or bad. All as we can do is guarantee, as a people, we the people, all we can do is guarantee that there's a full marketplace of ideas. And then with liberty, and this is the thing that I constantly hammer the young people about today, is my right for this and my right for that. And I never once hear them say anything about their responsibility for this and that. All right. So with rights come and liberty comes responsibility. So the responsibility in a free marketplace of ideas where very smart people and complete jackasses can share their voice, it is upon us to have discernment. And this is something that is not inculcated into you through a government school. This is something that is, like I said, everything good comes out of a loving, nurturing family. All right. And these things are ingrained in what a person is in their character, is having discernment and judgment, good judgment. So in the free marketplace of ideas, it is still on us to have discernment between the junk and the good stuff. You just got to be able to really be fixated on validating the information you get. If it's going to affect your judgment, you need to follow through and make sure that someone's not blowing smoke up your ass.
Well, I would suggest that you said you needed a family that's doing, but the main thing that is, it's got to be an informed family. You really can't make a family that can live in this country unless it's an informed family. You need to know at least close to the truth, because we know that the truth is really out there, but we can't find it, because even the alternative media, I mean, we report on stuff that doesn't, it's not even there. We weren't there, but we're reporting on stuff that other people reported, and we're saying this is the truth. Well, how do we know that is? Because we just don't have the reach in the alternative media. It's not like you have reporters going out there to see what's going on at Donald Trump's meetings and stuff. All we get is bites and stuff, and that's just my own.
Yeah. We do have networks of podcasters and independents that are networking together, that are getting information and leads from each other. It's taking shape.
But are there reporters? Are there reporters on the scene?
In some cases. You know, some
okay,
cases.
Yeah, there is. But, okay, everything. So those are the people we should be listening to.
No. No, there's news happening everywhere, and that's what I love is that real critical information can pop up from almost any place now, but we've got to grow in numbers. We've got to grow in the tightness of our networks. I told you, we are poised to be the next mainstream media. It's not going to be the big networks. They're already, the numbers, if you go just by viewership, they're already in a lot of trouble.
Well, there's far more news coming out of RBN than there is from the mainstream media. Every time I see Fox News, which is supposedly, quote-unquote, the actual fair and balanced media and stuff, they flash on Israel at war. Who are they fighting?
Oh,
they're not fighting anybody.
So they can spend more money and take more rights. So, yeah, every time economy, when its currency crashes, or is about to, we wind up at war. So we should all,
and that's where we're at too.
Yeah,
people need to gear up right now. They really seriously have to gear up right now, because even though your money can still buy what you want right now, it's going away. This is all going to crash down. We're in trouble, big time trouble. And you know, if you want some solutions to this, there is none. The reason why there is none is because they've secured the CIA's in charge of this. They got some brilliant people at the top of it. They already know how to make sure we cannot fight back. Oh, well, we have our guns. We can do this. Yeah, right. As soon as you start making a play, they're going to send a drone and blow your butts up. You know, I mean, we're in a catch-22. There's no way we can get out of this. All we can do is sit in the waiting room of the doctor's office and wait and find out how they're going to kill us. They already killed our moms. They already killed our dads, you know?
No. We don't have to sit around and do anything. In fact, that's the perfect recipe for absolute disaster. What led us this far might as well lead us right off the cliff, right? But, you know, sure. If they're looking for a comfortable way out of this, you know, they're completely off their rocker. There is no comfortable way out. But once you're at peace with that, once you realize you screwed up so damn bad that there's now no comfortable way out of this, you know, a sense of peace does wash over you, and then you just gird up and head right back in there again with a new attitude. So, Andy, appreciate your call. I got one more.
Thank you, sir.
Squeeze in here real quick. Appreciate it.
All right, Chief.
Nope, we lost Mike. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, this is the attitude, folks, that you got to adopt. Because if I'm telling you right now, with more apathy, just look at the current trend and where it's going, because that's where you're going. All right. If you leave it up to them. But the globalists are feeling a pinch. The president of the COP28 came out and said they just send ripples around the world. I think they're kind of playing some good cop, bad cop on us. But he said there's absolutely no science that would justify shutting down fossil fuels. All right. And there's not. The real science has not been presented. All right. Glamorized theatrics and window dressing claims have been put out there, but completely unsupported. Completely unsupported. And we're going to continue to dig into this. This is going to be an ongoing subject because we do have to understand within the context of this discussion about climate change, because they're coming after all of your resources. All right, this is going to hurt. This is going to pinch, and you're already starting just to see the very beginnings of it. This is not the worst of it right now. Trust me, this is going to get profoundly more impactful. And if you're not on guard, it's going to creep right into your town. Don't look for the federal government, and don't look for your state government to be on the lookout for the UN's global to local plan. It's coming through the Soviet right into your town. The boards manned by people you know. All right. Hey, stay in the fight, folks. We certainly do appreciate you here tuning in to Red Pill Politics every week and supporting Republic Broadcasting. Love and appreciate y'all. Fly your flags high. Keep your powder dry. Love each other out there. We'll see you next week.
I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.